Chapter 8. They rushed over to the other side of the mansion, where Violet had her office in a small room off the kitchen. The room had once been some sort of sitting room, Lexi guessed, but now it was retrofitted, with a large oak desk facing out a set of double windows that looked out onto the herb garden. Violet slid behind the desk, and they all crowded around her. She pecked at the keys with one finger, in a maddeningly slow pace, as she searched for the security program. Here it is. She hovered the cursor over an icon and clicked it with a flourish. A screen came up, and she stared at it with her lips pressed together. Now, how do I get the access to the data from last night? Ruth, who was a computer whiz, had been leaning over Violet's shoulder. Let me try. She pushed Violet out of the way and sat down at the keys, her fingers flying over them. A few seconds later, they were looking at a picture of the upstairs hallway. The view was directed at the library, but just on the edge of the screen, you could see the door to the room Leonard had been staying in. The door was shut. Houdini jumped on the desk, situated himself in front of the monitor, blocking everyone's view, and then blinked at them as if they were all looking in his direction to admire him, instead of just trying to see the screen he was now blocking. Out of the way! Ruth pushed him to the side. He lashed his tail in the air, hitting Ruth in the face before turning in a figure eight and settling in front of the screen again. Violet picked him up and deposited him on the floor. Shoo, Houdini, we have important business here. They heard footsteps in the hall, and Garrity looked out.
Oh, Karen, please come in here. I want you to see this. We know you went to Leonard's room last night. Maybe something on this tape will jog your memory.
Karen crowded in the room behind them.
What is that?
It's the security system. Violet said.
I didn't know you had one.
I don't think anyone does. Hopefully that'll work in our favor, Jack said, because the killer might not know there was one either. We're trying to see who went into Leonard's room last night.
As they watched, a small, dark figure appeared at the bottom of the screen. Houdini. He trotted down the hallway and disappeared into the library.
Is this time-stamped?
Garrity asked.
Yes, it's tied into the computer clock.
Violet pointed to tiny numbers on the bottom right of the screen.
Maybe we should fast-forward it, Ida muttered impatiently. Otherwise we might be here all day.
We don't have to. It's motion-activated, so we'll only see when there's activity, and then it shuts off after 5 minutes,
Violet said.
What are you guys doing?
They turned and saw the guy with the navy shirt who had helped Danny break into Leonard's room. They were attracting quite a crowd, but Garrity didn't seem to mind.
Maybe he wanted people to know they were looking at the security tape, thinking it might push the killer into doing something that would expose him, wondered Lexi.
We're looking at the security tape of the hallway outside Leonard's room from last night.
Jack answered.
Oh, you're thinking you might see the killer, right?
Garrity turned and studied the man.
That's right. Do you know anything about what we might see?
Not me.
He leaned casually against the doorframe.
There's someone.
Nans tapped the screen, and we watched Karen come into view. She was holding a tray with two drinks on it. She tapped on Leonard's door. The door cracked open and she handed him the drink. Then he shut the door. She turned and walked back in the direction of the stairs.
As you can see, he was very much alive when I gave him the drink, Karen said. And I didn't enter his room, so I couldn't have messed with the pills.
You had two drinks on the tray, Helen said. Who was the other one for?
That one was for Gloria, a martini. She wanted it delivered in the conservatory, Karen answered. I went straight there after I delivered Leonard's drink.
Mrs. Pendrake appeared in the doorway, craning her neck to see what they were doing. Another person appeared on the screen, and Violet gasped.
Isn't that Danny, the associate producer?
Lexi felt a trill of excitement, but Danny walked past Leonard's room without even a glance. After a few more minutes of empty hallway, Lexi and Jack appeared with Sprinkles. As they got to the doorway heading into the library, Sprinkles tugged at the leash, setting Lexi off balance. Lexi planted her feet on the ground to hold Sprinkles back while the dog tugged and pulled. It looked comical. Helen laughed.
What was that all about?
Oh, Sprinkles likes to chase Houdini. He was in the library, and she tried to have a go at him. I had to hold her back.
Sprinkles would be wise to keep her distance, Violet said. Houdini won't hesitate to scratch anything that threatens him, and his claws are very sharp.
They continued to watch the monitor intently. The next person was Gustav Schilling, the man with the mustache. He was walking toward the stairs, away from his room, but he, too, walked straight past Leonard's room. A few more minutes went by, and then they saw Danny again. This time, he was walking toward the stairs. He looked freshly showered and in different clothes from when they had previously seen him.
This is the next morning.
Jack tapped the numbers on the bottom of the screen. Violet's brows shot up to her hairline.
But that's impossible. We didn't see anyone go into Leo's room after Karen gave him the drink.
I know, Jack said.
Well, if no one went into his room and it was chained from the inside, then who poisoned him and staged it as a suicide by taking his pills?
Nans asked. A sharp intake of breath came from the back of the crowd. Lexi turned to see Mrs. Pendrake's pale face staring at them.
Glory be! There's only one explanation. It must have been the ghost of Wellington Mance.